Healthcare. You know, it feels like it's not just sick sometimes. In a lot of ways, it really seems like it's flatlining. It's fundamental, right? But its actual ability to help and heal, its lifeblood, well, it feels like it's been trickling away for ages. But here's the thing. There is hope. There's actually a clear way forward, a path to kind of jumpstart its heart. So today we're doing a deep dive into a really vital new book. It's called Reimagining Healthcare: How Clinicians and Non-Clinicians Reduce Risk, Waste, and Disjointed Services by Dr. Douglas Fallbush. And our mission here isn't just to, you know, list all the problems, though we will definitely get into those. More importantly, we want to unpack the real actionable solutions Dr. Fallbush is talking about. Solutions that could genuinely lead to a healthier system for everyone. And why should this matter to you listening right now? Well, look, whether you're a patient trying to navigate the system, or maybe you're caring for someone, or just, you know, living your life, you will interact with healthcare eventually. We all will. So this deep dive is basically your shortcut to getting properly informed.
You'll hear some surprising facts, get insights into the real challenges, and crucially understand how things could actually be reimagined. Okay, so with that bigger picture set, let's zoom in a bit. Just how big is this problem? When we say healthcare is in critical condition, what does that even mean? I mean, it's pretty much the only industry that touches every single person, right?
Yeah.
At some point. And the money involved, it's just colossal. Globally, we're looking at something like US $8.1 trillion, and it keeps growing 5 to 10% every year. Here in Australia, that's $850 billion. That's, what, nearly 30% of our GDP. Just think about that. It's the single biggest strain on government budgets. And yet people often say it's one of the least efficiently designed parts of our economy.
It is a huge paradox, isn't it? And Dr. Fallbush, he uses this really powerful analogy. He likens healthcare to a brain. It's got two sides, the clinical side, doing the medical work, and the business administration side, handling, well, the business. But what's fascinating and kind of worrying is his point that these two halves, they just don't talk to each other very well. They don't communicate efficiently. Yeah. And his core insight, this disconnect, it creates these pockets of excellence, you know, brilliant work happening in isolation. But then they're separated by what he calls paper walls. These walls, they block the flow of care. So the takeaway is this siloing. It's not just inefficient. It actively harms the patient experience. It frustrates the staff who are trying their best. And it just keeps driving up costs and risks.
Yeah, it's like having this amazing brain where the two halves aren't connected properly. You get these bursts of activity, but they don't really serve the whole person effectively.
And the human cost of all this dysfunction is just, it's immense. Dr. Fallbush actually calls it the slow, painful death of meaningful, values-based healthcare. You really see it in the staff's morale, don't you? The burnout, the depression, they're at record levels. We're talking over half of clinicians in Australia and the U.S. feeling burnt out. And get this, a third of Australian nurses are thinking about leaving the profession. A third. And Dr. Fallbush, he brings this really personal angle, too. He's been a patient himself. He's seen the gaps in healthcare firsthand. He talks about the frustration, you know, getting limited information, not many options, and seeing how that impacts family and friends too, feeling like just a collection of symptoms or body parts, not a whole person being cared for.
Absolutely. And if we're saying healthcare's heart is dying, then these inefficiencies, these communication breakdowns, that like the blockages, right? Stopping the lifeblood from flowing. Dr. Fallbush points out something pretty shocking. Suboptimal care, basically care that isn't as good as it should be, is the third highest cause of death in developed healthcare systems. And here's the crucial bit. It's mostly not down to individual mistakes. It's system problems. They're the biggest contributors. Just let that sink in. The way the system itself is set up is often the biggest barrier to actually saving lives. And the waste. The financial waste is just staggering. Estimates are around 15% here in Australia, but maybe up to 30% in the U.S.
30%. Wow.
Yeah. 30%. Just think what that money could do if it was actually spent on care. To give you a local example, in Australia, injuries people get while in hospital healthcare associated injuries, they add something like 13 to 16% to hospital costs. That's huge. And then there are medicine related hospital admissions, about 190,000 every year, costing $660 million directly. Even things that seem routine, like clinical handovers. You know, when one team passes patient care to another, they're actually high-risk moments. Something like 11 to 15% of those handovers are inadequate and can lead to bad outcomes.
It's just mind-boggling when you lay it all out like that. That lost money. Imagine reinvesting it in frontline care.
Hold the
potential's enormous.
Okay.
Okay, so we've got the scale of the problems clear. But based on Dr. Fallbush's work, what's the real root cause here? Why did these issues just stick around? Why hasn't the way we do healthcare kept up with how complex it's become?
That's really the heart of it, isn't it? He argues pretty convincingly that the delivery model itself is just stuck. It's outdated. It hasn't changed fundamentally, even though healthcare has grown exponentially. He uses a great analogy. You wouldn't have one single master builder overseeing a whole skyscraper today, right? You need highly specialized collaborative teams.
Right, of course.
Yet in healthcare, you still have administrators and clinicians often working almost completely independently, like that disconnected brain we talked about. And it's this siloed way of working that stops the whole system from truly optimizing care for the patient. And this brings us to something called the wrong pockets problem. It's a classic systems thinking issue. There was this brilliant thinker, Russell Ackoff, who basically said, if you make each individual part of a system as efficient as possible on its own, the system as a whole won't actually be as effective as it could be.
Huh. Okay, explain that a bit more.
Well, think about it in healthcare. A really good episode of care, maybe one that prevents future complications, might actually cost one specific department more in the short term. So they might avoid doing it, even if that superior care would save another part of the system or the community way more money down the line.
Ah, I see. So one part saves money, but the whole system and the patient potentially lose out.
Exactly. It's like this hidden cost transfer. Efficiency in one silo creates inefficiency overall. And, you know, that really reminds me of what W. Edwards Deming, the quality guru, said. 94% of all failure is a result of the system, not people. It's usually not about blaming individuals. Dr. Fallbush also uses this model, Hudson's risk model, to show a key difference. Healthcare, he says, is often stuck in this reactive stage, just managing hazards after they happen, like patching leaks. Compare that to aviation. They're in what's called the generative stage. Safety isn't an add-on. It's how they do business baked into everything. Healthcare needs that kind of fundamental shift in thinking.
And often, doesn't this boil down to a tension between sort of profit and purpose? Dr. Fallbush draws some interesting parallels with other businesses, like Apple, you know, when Steve Jobs came back. Their success was built on putting the customer first, creating value for them.
Right, or Microsoft's big shift around 2010 towards collaboration after being quite combative. That led to huge success.
And when Apple lost that customer focus back in the 90s, they nearly went under. He points out a similar lesson here in Australia with some private hospitals in the 80s. They became very profit-focused, and many actually failed. And that whole experience apparently really contributed to this sort of bad feelings, his antipathy between the clinical side and the business side. It created distrust.
Yeah, where the core mission, the purpose of healing, kind of gets lost or overshadowed by the financial bottom line. It's a tough balance, which then raises the really important question, doesn't it? How do we actually apply these lessons in healthcare? How do we move beyond just talking about profit? Dr. Fallbush is really clear on this. Patient-centered care. It's not just about, you know, nice waiting rooms or glossy brochures.
Right. It's going to be more substantial.
Exactly. It's about making patients full, active participants in decisions about their own health. It's about making things convenient for them, not just for the hospital or the clinic. His research actually shows that the quality of the human experience, how people feel they are treated, correlates much better with loyalty and good outcomes than just, say, infection rates or other hard clinical stats.
That makes sense.
Patients want to know things like, okay, what's my life going to be like after this treatment? Not just a list of symptoms. It means really understanding their life, their context, and treating the whole person.
Okay, so we've dissected the problems, the systemic issues. Does Dr. Fallbush offer a way out? Is there a practical roadmap?
Oh, absolutely. He really zeroes in on collaboration as the key ingredient that's missing. He's actually developed a very clear 6-step method for achieving what he calls purpose-driven healthcare. There's a figure in the book showing it. It starts with things like identifying internal values. And that's not just, you know, a fluffy corporate thing.
No.
No, it's about reconnecting everyone, clinicians, admin staff, everyone, with the fundamental why. Why are we here? That shared purpose of healing people, which can get lost in the day-to-day grind. Once that why is clear and shared, then you can build trust, acknowledge the trends happening, figure out how to create real value for the user. It fosters this genuinely collaborative environment. It's all about finding that common purpose in the healthcare experience.
And what really struck me was his focus on the user experience, but not just for patients, right?
Mm-hmm.
For everyone involved.
Precisely. He actually says, improving the healthcare experience is my number one fix. Why?
because it's the one thing that's broken for pretty much everyone involved, clinicians, administrators, and patients. So if you focus on improving that, you tend to find solutions that benefit everybody. Remember that example from the London hospital, where the drinking glasses were a weird color so patients couldn't tell how much water was in them and felt dehydrated?
Yeah, such a small thing, but a big impact.
Exactly. Or just shifting the question you ask a patient instead of what is the matter, asking what matters to you. That simple shift changes the whole dynamic. And it works for engaging staff, too.
Yeah.
Ask them what matters to them in their work. It gets to the heart of things, the human side.
And technology obviously has a huge part to play in this reimagined future. It's more than just a buzzword here, isn't it?
Oh, definitely not just a buzzword. Dr. Fallbush really highlights how things like virtual care are already changing the game, redefining accessibility, availability, affordability, delivering care remotely. We're talking about things like telemedicine, which is becoming more common, but also really cutting edge stuff like mixed reality home visits.
Mixed reality. How does that work?
Well, there's an example from Silverchain and Microsoft over in WA. A nurse might be physically in the patient's home, but they're accompanied by a projected sort of virtual doctor or specialist. So specialists can be present remotely, offering their expertise without having to travel. It's amazing.
Wow.
And then you've got things like smartwatch apps. Some can apparently detect serious issues like heart attacks or sleep apnea, maybe even a week before the person notices symptoms.
That's incredible.
It is. But the key point here isn't about replacing humans with tech. It's the opposite, really. Yeah. Technology lets us offload some of the cognitive burden, you know, the data processing, the monitoring, while actually expanding the reach of the caregivers. It frees up both the caregiver and the patient to focus on what we humans do best, those crucial human-to-human interactions. That's where the real healing happens.
Okay, so this really feels like where we start putting the pieces together. Yeah. Building those bridges between the clinical side and the admin side, using tech smartly. How do we make this happen practically?
Well, he argues strongly for creating some kind of dedicated clinical administration collaboration entity, a formal structure to make it happen. And the focus needs to be on managing variations in care, not variations in people. People are different, but inconsistencies in how care is delivered, because the data is just striking. He says non-clinical inputs drive 80% of care outcomes.
80%, really? Things like processes, communication.
Exactly. Scheduling, information flow, resource allocation, all that stuff has a massive impact on the clinical result, 80%. So the approach would be to identify areas where costs are high and there's a lot of variation in how things are done. Then prioritize some quick wins. He mentions a 300-bed hospital that just improved its pre-admission workflow. Small change, relatively speaking, but it's saved staff time, boosted efficiency, improved morale, even cut down on wasted resources. Those quick wins build trust and momentum for tackling bigger, more complex system changes.
It shows it can be done.
Precisely. It demonstrates that collaboration isn't just, you know, a nice idea. It delivers real, measurable results.
So when you bring it all together, the vision Dr. Fallbush is painting seems incredibly clear and actually quite hopeful. Healthcare leaders, professionals, they're being asked more and more to focus on quality and patient safety. And it's not just because it's the right thing to do ethically. It's because, as he puts it, quality care is less expensive care.
Mm.
The two go hand in hand.
Yes. It means using the entire business machinery of healthcare, the admin, the systems, the processes to actively support and foster high quality care, not just relying on the clinical side to manage quality in isolation.
It's about integrating everything, isn't it? Purpose and profit, clinical skill and business efficiency, all working together to finally heal healthcare's heart. So we've taken quite a journey today, from really looking at the huge challenges healthcare faces, that dying heart idea, to understanding the deep roots of the problems in those disconnected systems and sometimes misaligned goals, and then exploring these really concrete ways to reimagine it all. Through collaboration, through truly centering on the patient, and through using technology in a smart, human-focused way, Dr. Fallbush leaves us with this really powerful thought. Our biggest problems are our biggest opportunities. So think about this for a moment. Considering all those incredible future technologies we touched on, blockchain for secure data, wearable sensors, AI helping doctors, robotics, genomics, maybe even 3D printed organs one day, what kind of conversations, what frameworks do you think we as a society need to be having right now? How do we make sure these amazing advances lead to a future healthcare system that genuinely adds life to years, not just years to life? One that's truly accessible, available, and affordable for everyone, everywhere, all the time. And doesn't just end up making the gaps between rich and poor even wider. What part will you play in helping to heal healthcare's heart?